Good morning. Today's daf is Beitza Yud Zayin. We're in the very top of the Amud. We are a second line down, Tana Rabbanan. And we're going to start off this morning going into a little bit regarding Tefillah and the structure of Tefillah on Yontif. A little bit off topic, but on the other hand, it's Beitza. It's Masechta Yontif. So it does give us an opportunity to take a look at some of the Inyanim of Yontif, but it's not exactly flowing from what we've been discussing yesterday. We talked about Erev Tavshilin, and later this morning we're going to come back and we're going to revisit Erev Tavshilin and stay over some basic halachas regarding Erev Tavshilin. In fact, Yirtzeh Hashem, this morning, we're going to finish the Sugya of Erev Tavshilin. The Sugya of Erev Tavshilin really concludes on the bottom of Yizayin Amud Beis, up to the Mishnah. So by the end of today's daf, hopefully, we will be able to say some halachic points regarding Erev Tavshilin. But in the meantime, however, so we're going to go off on the together with the tangent to the Gemara and talk a little bit about the structure of davening on Yontif. So Tana Rabban, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, Yomtov Shechalios B'Shabbos. So now, when they have Yontif and Shabbos, so how are we going to structure the Shmoneh Esrei? So again, we all know this. I'm saying things that which are obvious, but at the same time setting ourselves up. So we know that during the weekday, so the Shmoneh Esrei is comprised of three brachas at the beginning, that's the Berachas Shevach, three brachas at the end, that's the Berachas Avdah, and a whole selection of brachas in the middle, which are bakashos. So originally there were 12 in the middle, and then with the Ma'amal Shani added, it's 13 in the middle, so good. So we know the general structure of Shmoneh Esrei is Shevach, Shevach, and then Bakasha, and then Hodah. So that's what we know. What we also know is that, so on Shabbos, what happens now is that you take out all the Bakashas in the middle, the 12/13 brachas in the middle, and you take them out and you replace them with one bracha that just focuses on Kiddushas Yom. So if we just exited a number of days of Yantav, Rosh Hashanah, and yesterday Yom Kippur, so we know that that's a general structure. Now, Rosh Hashanah, you do have something interesting, and that is that you have an unbelievably unique Shmoneh Esrei, but that's a Musaf for Rosh Hashanah with Machi Zechron Sveshofers. But that's not, we don't have to focus on that right now. Just on the very basic structure of the Shmoneh Esrei of Yantav, so, and Shabbos, so you take out all the Bakashas and replace it with one bracha of Kiddushas Hayom. Now, what's being discussed in the Braisa is that what happens when I have Shabbos and Yontif that are conflated? They are occurring concurrently. And now, so how do I structure Shmoneh Esrei? So we have Kiddushas Hayom, but we also have Kiddushas Hayom. We have the Kiddushas Hayom Shabbos, and we have the Kiddushas Hayom of Yontif. So now, what do we do in terms of the structuring of our Shmoneh Esrei? Great question. And now, as we're going to see, it's an old machlokist, Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel, in terms of exactly how to structure Shmoneh Esrei. So the positions go as follows. So Yom Tov Shechalios B'Shabbos Beit Shammai Omrim Mispal Shmoneh. So Beit Shammai says, so here what you're going to do is you're going to have a Shmoneh Esrei made up of 8 brachas, 3 b'Shevach, 3 b'Hodah, and 2 in the middle. And the 2 v'Omer Shal Shabbos B'Fnei Atzma v'Shal Yom Tov B'Fnei Atzma. So Beit Shammai's position is, look, it's really simple. You have Kiddushas Hayom and you have Kiddushas Hayom. And what Beit Shammai is refusing to subscribe to is that we should take the two and conflate that into one bracha. Don't conflate into one bracha. Each yom gets its own bracha, resulting in 8 bracha Shmoneh Esrei. Ubeis Hillel Omrim Mispal Shevach Maschil B'Shal Shabbos Masayim B'Shal Shabbos V'Omer Kiddushas Hayom Be'emtza. Now there's going to be 2 versions of Beis Hillel. So let's call this now the first version of Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel 1.0, if you will. And Beis Hillel says, no, everything's going to get conflated. Meaning, you're going to have Shabbos and Yontav all conflated into one bracha, and that bracha is principally going to be a bracha about Shabbos, Kiddusha Shabbos. Now, it's also Yontav as well, obviously, but what you'll do is you'll make some insertions of Yontav into that bracha, but fundamentally it's a Shabbos bracha. How do I know that? Because Beis Hillel says that the opener, you open it with Shabbos. So thematically, really, it's a Shabbos bracha. And the conclusion, the chasim is Shabbos. Oh, okay. So that means to tell you that really in fundamental terms, it's a Shabbos bracha. What you'll do is you'll add yontif, obviously, specific to whichever yontif you're holding in, you'll add the yontif into that bracha, and that's Shitas Beis Hillel. So on the fundamental level, so Beis Hillel says, not like Beis Shammai, where the Kedusha Sayyam is going to translate into 2 separate brachas. It will be only one bracha, and then, at least in this first version of Beis Hillel, and that bracha will be dominated by Shabbos, and what you'll do is you just simply insert yontif into it. Now, Rebbe Omer, now Rebbe's going to give us what he believes is Beis Hillel 2.0. Or he doesn't believe it's 2.0. In other words, it's his version of Beis Hillel. Af chosim ba mekadosh Shabbos Yisrael v'azmanim. So Rebbe's of the position that I agree with Beis Hillel that the 2 Kedushas Hayom will be conflated into one bracha. However, when the chasima, the conclusion of the bracha, you're mentioning both Shabbos and Yontif. And so obviously his slight point of disagreement is that the bracha is not going to be dominated by one Kiddushas HaYom, but rather the bracha will be a hybrid of Kiddushas HaYom and Kiddushas Shabbos. I'm sorry, Kiddushas Yantiv and Kiddushas Shabbos. And that hybrid will carry through all the way to the end. So when you get to the Chasima, which really is distilling the essence of the bracha, so according to Rebbe, what you're going to do is you're going to make a bracha both on Kiddushas Shabbos and Kiddushas HaYom. Now, right, for the number of times that we've experienced the Shabbos and Yantiv, so coinciding with one another, happen concurrently, so we know that's exactly what we do. We end off the bracha with the Chasima for both Shabbos and for Yantiv as well. So we follow this position. So, and then the Gemara just brings down an important detail. Tani Tana Kama de Ravina. The following brisa was torn from the Ravina, Mekadosh Yisrael, Shabbos Vazmanim. So in this brisa, so he's giving us a chasima of what the bracha looks like. This brisa obviously is following the shita of Rebbe, as Rebbe understood Beis Hillel, that what you're going to do is that you're going to conflate the two and actually have both ideas expressed in the chasima. The only detail over here is that in this brisa, so how is it worded? Mekadesh Yisrael, Vehashabbos Vazmanim. Now, when Ravina hears this version of the Brisa, Ravina says wrong. He got it wrong. 90% of it right. Meaning, we do follow Beis Hillel, and we do put the two ideas in the same bracha at the chasima. It's just the way it's phrased over here at the end, it needs editing. So, Amalei Atur Shabbos Yisrael Mekachele. So, the way we're saying over the bracha in the Brisa, Mekadesh Yisrael, so we're sanctifying the Jewish people who in turn sanctify Shabbos, who in turn sanctify Yantiv. That's not right. Shabbos, so how does Shabbos receive its Kedusha? Not by us. So Shabbos happens weekly, regardless of however the calendar lays out. Right? Every seventh day Shabbos. So it's Mekudesh Me'elav. So that Vaha Shabbos Mekadesh V'Kayme. So it has nothing to do with Bnei Yisrael. So Ela'ema Mekadesh Shabbos V'Yisrael V'Azmanim. So he says, so the better way to say it is Mekadesh Shabbos, and then Yisrael V'Azmanim. And as Rashi says over here in the Gemara elsewhere says, because as far as Yantiv is concerned, so Yantiv is contingent on us. Meaning, how is Yantiv contingent on us? Because Yantiv is calendaric, and as far as the calendar is concerned, the calendar is totally within our domain. We are going to establish which day is Rosh Chodesh. Our establishment of the day of Rosh Chodesh is based on a number of factors, but when all said and done, we are making that determination. Once we establish which day of Rosh Chodesh is, so then Yantiv is going to be a function of that determination. So therefore, Yantiv is really a function of Klal Yisrael, of Bnei Yisrael, of the Beis Din. So now the proper way to say the chasima is Mekadesh Shabbos, which is totally irrespective of a Beis Din, and then Yisrael v'Hazmanim. And of course, that's exactly what we do. That's the chasima of our bracha. Good. The Gemara elsewhere is bothered by your question. Okay, it's a Gemara in brachos. I forgot which stuff. The Gemara is bothered by your question. And so the Gemara says that as a rule, we don't like bundling together, and this would be a violation of bundling. But at the same time, however, for Beis Hillel, there just simply is no choice. Meaning he's just simply not ready to entertain the idea that there are going to be two middle brachas. Just like for him, it's a non-starter. And so therefore, the only thing left to do is just simply to conflate. Now, how to conflate? So that's the difference between Beis Hillel 1.0 and Beis Hillel 2.0. In Beis Hillel 1.0, so conflation is going to be done where it's going to be just Shabbos. Meaning, and Yantiv will just simply, you know, we'll stuff into the bracha. But and the second, in the 2.0 version is right. That's what you're being sensitive to. That at the end of that bracha, you really are mentioning now two separate ideas. Okay. Amar Rav Yosef halacha kerebi yukud etaretz ravina. And then the Gemara says, we know, but of course, we know with hindsight. Meaning, it's easy to know things with hindsight. So so halacha is like Rebbe, as Ravina explained. Okay, good. Which is, of course, is that we do, on Shabbos Yantiv, we do one bracha, one central bracha, and on the chasima, we do both Shabbos and Yantiv, and the way that Ravina formulated it. Next. Tanu Rabbanan Shabbos Shecholios Rosh Chodesh. Okay, so you have now Shabbos coinciding with either Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed, or B'Chol HaShemoed. So what do we know? So under those circumstances, so we got a Yalav Yavo, right? In other words, had it not been Shabbos, so the way that we would address either Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed is with the Yalav Yavo. But now it's Shabbos, so now the Shemoneh Esrei is structured a little bit differently, like we said in the introduction. So is that going to affect a Yalav Yavo? So Arvish V'Shachrus HaMincha Mispal Sheva V'Omer Me'ina Ma'or B'Avoda. So according to the Tana Kama, so for Marv, for Shachrus, for Mincha, so you do your standard Shemoneh Esrei for Shabbos, that's Sheva, seven brachos. And then as far as taking care of Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed, you just put that in Ritzei, like we do. In other words, it's exactly how we handle it. But as we're going to see in just a moment, within the Braisa, there are two different opinions. So, v'omer mein amar ba'avoda. V'im lo amar machzir noso. And, oh, by the way, if you fail to mention that it was Rosh Chodesh, you forgot Yalla v'yavo for either Rosh Chodesh or for Chol HaMoed, so okay, and you finish your Shemona Esrei, so what you got to do is you got to turn around and you got to daven Shemona Esrei again. We already established this back in Brachos, is that a Shemona Esrei where you need to say Yalla v'yavo and you didn't say Yalla v'yavo, so that's an incomplete Shemona Esrei. And incompletion means that you got to do the whole thing again. You got to say over the entire Shemona Esrei, assuming, provided that you finished your Shemona Esrei. If you didn't finish it, so then you can go back. The halachas are slightly more detailed. I'm oversimplifying right now. But anyway, Shita's Tanakama is that for Shabbos Rosh Chodesh or Shabbos Chol HaMoed, so Yalla v'yavo remains in Ritzei. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Bahoda. Rabbi Eliezer is of the position that you shifted over to Hoda. Now, unclear in that, is that a general position that he has, that the Yalla v'yavo should go in Hoda and not within Ritzei? Could very well be that's what he means. Why is he mentioning it over here? Unclear. But it could just simply be understood as Yalla v'yavo does not belong in Ritzei, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it belongs in the next bracha, what we call the bracha of Modim, the Gemara calls the bracha of Hoda. Okay? And Rashi over here writes really succinctly, but Rashi says over here it's not much different than Al Nisim. Al Nisim is in Hoda. Okay, so your Yalla v'yavo also belongs in Hoda as well. Okay. Obviously, all this could be discussed and explained a lot better. We're just scratching the surface. Uvim Musaf and Maschal B'Shal Shabbos and Masayim B'Shal Shabbos. Now, what do you do on a Musaf? Meaning, we're talking now about the Musaf of Shabbos that coincides with either Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed. So what do you do for that Musaf? So you start with Shabbos, you end with Shabbos. V'amar Kedusha Sayom Be'emtsa. Now, Kedusha Sayom is going to be inserted into the central bracha of Musaf. Now, why should it be that Musaf is going to be different? So probably, okay, and again, all this is, right, it needs a lot more clarification, but probably the easiest way to explain it is because what is Musaf? The Musaf is the extra davening that we do because there is a carbon Musaf. So now, as opposed to Shachris, Maariv, and Mincha, did that out of order, as opposed to Maariv, Shachris, and Mincha, so there, those Shmona Esreis are standard Shmona Esreis, which, yes, it does to a certain degree correspond to Avoda, but there are other elements of it as well, right? The Gemara and Brachos, in terms of the Takana of Shmona Esrei, it's because of the carbon, it's because of Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. The point is that when it comes to the standard Shmona Esrei, so it's not just purely based on Avoda. Fine. But when it comes to the Musaf, so the Musaf davening that we daven is clearly just a function of Avoda. Meaning that Shmona Esrei is corresponding to the fact that on these days, there's a carbon Musaf that's offered. So now, the Tanakhama says like this. If it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh or Shabbos Chol HaMoed, to just simply say Yalla v'yavo in Musaf, well, that's not the fundamental purpose of Musaf. The fundamental purpose of Musaf is Keneged Karbanos. Well, we do have a Musaf Karban for Shabbos. We also have a Musaf Karban for Rosh Chodesh and a Musaf Karban for Chol HaMoed for whatever Yontav it is. Therefore, the Tanakhama says that in terms of structuring your Shmona Esrei, so the proper way to structure your Shmona Esrei is going to be not just to say Yalla v'yavo, but to actually take the Kedusha Sayom and insert it in that central bracha. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Yishmael, Ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan, Broka, Omrim, Kol Makom, Shehuzak, Lasheva, Maschal B'Shal Shabbos, Mesayim B'Shal Shabbos, V'Amar Kedusha Sayom Be'emtza, and according to these Tanayim, so now it's the Musaf is just Shabbos, and you don't do any insertion of Rosh Chodesh Chol HaMoed, and presumably Rosh Chodesh Chol HaMoed will just simply be taken care of with the Yalla v'yavo during the Ritzei of that Musaf. And I'm Rav Huna, in halacha ko'oso azog. And Rav Huna says, and that's not the halacha. Meaning the halacha is that on a Shabbos Musaf of Rosh Chodesh or a Shabbos Musaf of Chol HaMoed, what we do is exactly what the Gemara described, and that we're going to be making a central bracha, and that central bracha is going to have both themes of the Musaf of Shabbos and the Musaf of either Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed, whichever one it is. Okay. Good. So a short tangent at the beginning of today's daf regarding how to structure Shmona Esrei. When you have a confluence of either Shabbos Yontiv or you have a confluence of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh or Shabbos Chol HaMoed. Okay. Amar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Amar Rav. Okay. And now we go back to discussions regarding Eruvin, mostly about Erev Tavshilim, but like we did a little bit yesterday, a little bit also about Erev Tchum and about Erev Chatzeros. Well, no Erev Chatzeros for now. Amr Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Amar Rav. Minei Chadam Eruv Tchumim Yom Tov V'Chaver Umasna. Okay. So now Tu Deyantif. Okay. So as we are about to experience a couple of Tu Deyantifs, so we know what is a Tu Deyantif. So a Tu Deyantif is predicated in Sveika Diuma. Right? We've gone over this numerous times. So the Gemara in Beitza is one of the principal sources of discussing Sveika Diuma. So the idea is that when there were Mekarish, the Chodesh Alpi Ari'iyah, based on witnesses coming in and testifying when they saw the new moon, so there are two candidates of which they could be Rosh Chodesh. It could either be the 30th day of the previous month or the 31st day of the previous month. And so it was, all these decisions were done ad hoc. So as the witnesses came in. So therefore, if communication was the way communication looks like nowadays, so then how is, when exactly is everybody going to know when Basin was Mekash the Chodesh? The answer would be instantaneously. Right, a mass text would be sent out to everybody. Text, right? The based in website would post. Today we established Rosh Chodesh. Okay, but we go back to a time where communication was not that good, and so therefore, and there was high speed internet back in the day, but it was lighting fires one mountaintop to another. But for reasons which we're going to discuss in more detail when we get to Gemara and Rosh Hashanah, so that went down as well. So there were many communities outside of Eretz Yisrael that didn't know which day was Rosh Chodesh. Now, if you don't know which day is Rosh Chodesh, that means that there are two candidates of what day could be Rosh Chodesh. Therefore, there are two candidates of which day could be Yontif. So therefore, we're talking about a Yontif being an Issur D'Oraisa, so you have to be Machmir. So in the Galus, in diaspora, so they observe 2 days of Yontif, not knowing which day is Yontif. So they observe both of those days. That's what's called Sveika D'Yuma. So we're all familiar with this. Now, we also know, we've gone over this numerous times, that there was a point historically, sometime during the Tkufa of the Amoraim, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, that it specifically was during the generations of Abai and Rava, okay, and regardless, there was at one point in time during the Tkufa of the Amoraim, so what we did is we made a major shift in terms of the calendar, where we went from a calendar that was based on an Edim and Beis Din and Rias HaChodesh, and we moved over to a fixed calendar. But the Gemara says, we saw the Gemara earlier in Amisachta, the Gemara says that even as they moved to a fixed calendar, but nevertheless, Minna Gavasena Biadenu, the tradition in the Galus is to observe 2 days, the tradition will continue even after the calendar is fixed. The Gemara earlier asked the question, why? In other words, if we know which day is Rosh Chodesh, so why do we do it? So the Gemara says, Minna Gavasena Biadenu, but that was, what I'm saying right now is an incomplete version of the Gemara. See the Gemara back on Daf Hey for more details on this topic. Okay, all this is a lengthy but hopefully necessary introduction in order to get us to the next part of the Gemara, which is like this. So when on a 2-day Yontif, so now what? So now of those 2 days, 1 day is Yontif. We just don't know which one. Okay, so what we're discussing right now is, well, we know we're going to observe 2 days. We know one of those 2 days is Yontif. So now with that information, so what we could do is that we can make Tanayim. If necessary, so we can now basically play the 2 days one against the other. And so let's illustrate. So now let's go back to the Gemara and let's see all this inside. I should have introduced and then read. Okay. I'm going to reread. So Erev Tchum. So you want to set up an Erev Tchum to allow you to walk in a certain direction a little bit longer. Okay. You want, and I'm assuming we all know how the basics of an Erev Tchum. So you want to set it up. So when Yontif is going into Shabbos, let's say Yontif is Friday. Let's say Yontif actually is Thursday, Friday. And now the next day obviously being Shabbos. You want to set up an Erev Tchum for Shabbos. However, you forgot to do it before Yontif. Now to do it on Yontif for Shabbos, so if you remember yesterday's daf, so we said you can't do that. It's an issue of Hachana, and on top of that also, there's an Isser of Tchum on Yontif itself. You can't set it up from Yontif to Shabbos. However, if, let's say, you remembered on Thursday, it's a 2-day Yontif, Thursday, Friday, and you remembered on Thursday. So now you can set up your Erev Tchum for Shabbos using a Tanai. And here's how the Tanai is going to work. You'll simply say like this. Look, I'm about to enter into a 2-day Yontif. We're talking about, you're in the Galus. You're about to enter into a 2-day Yontif. Which of these days is Yontif? I don't know. But we're going to obviously observe both. Here's what I'll say. One of these days is Yontif, and I want to set up my Tchum for Shabbos. If today's Yontif, so that means now that tomorrow's not Yontif, and so the Tchum will take effect tomorrow. If tomorrow is Yontif, that means today is not Yontif, and so therefore I want the Tchum to take effect today. Okay. And you could do this. Okay, now obviously over here it needs a little bit of sophistication. Meaning on one hand, we are using the fact that one of those 2 days is Yantav, we just don't know which one, but you're using that information and basically saying, Mimanavshach, on one of these days the Erev Tchum is going to kick in. On the other hand, everyone's got to understand that both of these days are Yantav and we're going to observe both of these days, and it's only because fundamentally only one of these days is Yantav, so we're able to make such a Tanai. Obviously, I'm going to make an obvious point. You could, if let's say you only remember on Friday, now it's too late. Meaning because on Friday, you only have one possibility, which is that maybe today's Yantav, maybe today's not Yantav. But you can't make an Erev Tchum under those circumstances. You can only do so when you remembered on Thursday with that Miman of Shach of one of these days is not Yantav. Okay. Now, Rava says here, you could do the same thing when it comes to Erev Tevshalom as well. Meaning, let's say, again, Thursday, Friday, Yantav. Sorry. Let me do that correctly. Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. Thursday and Friday are both Yantav. And now again, when should you set up your Erev Tevshalom? Wednesday afternoon. Okay, that's when you should have done it. You forgot, and now it's Thursday. So now, Rava says, we can employ this the same mechanism, which is that I'll set up the Erev Tevshalom on Thursday, and again, I'm going to work with the Tanai. If today's Yantav, that means tomorrow's not Yantav, so then I can cook tomorrow for Shabbos. If today is Chol and tomorrow's Yantav, so my Erev Tevshalom should kick in today. And again, Miman Nafshach. You're now going to be able to cook from Friday to Shabbos. Okay, now, these 2 points are effectively the same point. Would they necessarily agree with one another? That's the Gemara's next point. Okay. Manda amar eruve tchumim kol shekein eruve tavshilin. If you allow for this Tanai to work for Erev Tchumim, you're for sure going to allow it for eruve tavshilin. Erev Tchum is a bigger deal. Why is it a bigger deal? The Gemara's going to say it. I'm just, you know, I read ahead. So it's a bigger deal because when it comes to Erev Tchum, so there's a kinyan that's involved. You're actually acquiring a new Makom Shvisa. So if you're allowing for this tonight to be done for Erev Tchumim, which involves kinyan, so Erev Tevshilin, as we discussed now for a couple of days, Erev Tevshilin is a rabbinic institution to allow you to cook from Yantav to Shabbos. There's no kinyan there. It's really a hecker. It's fundamentally there to remind you. Now again, what is it there to remind you? So that we saw in the beginning of the Gemara. Two opinions in terms of what is there to remind you. Just quickly to review. One is that it's to remind you about Shabbos, meaning you're going to get so excited about Yantiv, you're going to forget about Shabbos. The Erev Tevshalom is to remind you about Shabbos. Alternatively, the Erev Tevshalom is to remind you about Yantiv, meaning I'm cooking from Yantiv to Shabbos, so the Erev Tevshalom is there to remind you I can only cook from Yantiv to Shabbos, I can't cook from a Yantiv to weekday. But when all said and done, the Erev Tevshalom is just a reminder, it's a hecker. So if I'm allowing the Tanai to work by Erev Tchumim, where there's Kinyanim that's involved, I'm for sure going to be okay with it for Erev Tevshilin. The Gemara makes exactly that point. Mandam Eruv Tevshilin of Eruv Tchumim Lo. If I only allow the Tanai for Erev Tevshilin, so that wouldn't necessarily mean I'm allowing it for Erev Tchum. My time at the Limit Neshivisa B'Shabbos Lo. Because that involves Kinyanim, and to make a Kinyan only Al Safek, The second opinion, Rava, he wasn't excited about that idea, and he wasn't excited about it. He didn't like the idea. And so therefore, he only limited tonight for Erev Tevshilin, not for Erev Tchumim. Okay. Kan Rabbanan. Next. Ein ofin miyam tov v'chavero. You cannot cook from one day of Yantav to the next day of Yantav. I'm sorry. Let's go on. The Rambam making a distinction between the Gemaras that we just learned, between when they were Mekash al Piyariya versus when there's a fixed calendar, the Rambam feels there's a difference, it happens to be an extraordinarily important discussion, but we're going to go on for now, if I have time at the end, which I won't, so we'll go back, we'll discuss that at the end. Anyway, Tana Rabbanan, Ein Ofim Yom Tov L'Chaver, so you can't cook from one day of Yantav to the next day of Yantav, okay? Again, to cook from Yantav to Shabbos so that you could do via Erev Tevshilin. But now we're talking about cooking from one day of the Sfeika Diyoma to the second day of Sfeika Diyoma. So that you're not allowed to do. Be'emes Amra, Mamala Isha Kola Kedera Basar, Alpha Pishe Netzricha, Ela Chaticha Achas. Now, despite the fact that you're not allowed to cook from one day of Yantav to the next, but here's what you could do. You can make a huge pot of stew, meat, chulin, whatever you're making. You can make a huge pot, even knowing full well that we're not going to eat all this today and whatever, some of it, we'll eat some of it tomorrow. But as long as it's one pot, that would be fine. This is what's called ribu shiurim. In other words, it's done in the same act of cooking, even though the quantities are going to be more than we know it's going to be more than what we need for today, and we know that there's going to be leftover for tomorrow, and that's fine. And by the way, Ribu Shaurim would seemingly be okay. Not only when you're going from one day of Yontif to the next day of Yontif, it would be fine if I'm going from one day of Yontif to the next day Meichol. Meaning again, as long as I'm fundamentally cooking for that day and this is an important and there's no extra labor that's involved. So under those circumstances, so you're allowed to do so.
That's different from
Hohel? It's different from Hohel. Yes. In other words, what Hohel does, or it's a subtle point, but it's a really good point. What Hohel does is that Hohel just simply removes an Issa Daraisa. Meaning to cook from Yontif to a weekday, that's an Issa Daraisa. Hohel just simply removes that Issa Daraisa. Why? Based on the potential, on the possibility that people are going to be coming today, and I'm going to give them this food today. It doesn't make it mutter. All it does is it just removes the Issa Daraisa. Ribu Shurim, what we're discussing right now, so it sounds like it is mutter legamri. It's totally permissible. Okay. So, Ela Chaticha Achas. Memale Nachtam Chavishal Maim Alfa Pishenav Sarech Ela Likiton Echad. And again, you're boiling water, so you could boil a huge pot of water, even though you know you don't need that much hot water. You only need a little bit of water, but again, Ribu Shurim would be fine. Now, mind you, by the way, right, there's so much to think about over here, and the Gemara is going to treat Ribu Shurim in four or five lines of Gemara. It's a major topic. But the mind you, by the way, obviously, when you're boiling a larger pot, you are going to need more fuel. So to just simply say it's the same act, that's imprecise. It's not exactly the same act. You're going to have to get more wood, and you're going to need more fuel. And so it's not just to say simply that oh it's the same. It's not exactly the same. So avalafos ein ofe ela mashit tzarech lo. Now according to the Tanakhama, you could do Ribu Shurim as it relates to cholent, and you could do it regarding boiling water. You can't do it regarding baking bread. And the way Rashi explains it is, because when baking bread, so each loaf of bread is going to require its own application and its own removal. Okay, they have what's called Radias Apas. Okay, nowadays we just simply take the bread and we put it in the oven. But back in the day, baking bread was a much more skilled activity. Not to diminish baking bread, but I'm saying, but back then it was even more involved. So what they used to do is they used to fire up some sort of stone. They put the bread on the stone, and they will move the bread off of the stone. So, and that removal of the bread is what's called Radias Apas. The Gemara, a number of occasions, talks about how that's a chachma. It's a real skill. It's a real craft. And when I'm adding breads, so each loaf is going to demand its own radia, so that doesn't fall now under the category of marbe b'shiurim. And you can't just simply say, oh, I'm just, you know, it's the same. It's the same amount of effort and work. It's really not. So according to the Tanakhama, Ribu Shurim works for pots of stew, works for pots of water. It does not work for baking bread. Reb Shimon ben Elazar omer memale isha kol atanor pas bimnei shapas nefes yafeh bizman shatanor malei. And Reb Shimon ben Elazar says, no, you could do Ribu Shurim even as it relates to bread. Why? Because here's the argument that Reb Shimon ben Elazar makes. When I fill the oven with bread, the quality of each loaf improves. Okay, now, I'm not here to discuss the... Right, I'm not in the baking profession, and Rashi does spend time over here going over how this is in fact correct and true, and all I have to explain right now is that Rav Shimon ben Elazar subscribes to the idea that once there is improvement in each loaf, in other words, if one loaf is able to help the quality of the other loaf, so even though yes, it's going to require more work, but here the argument can be made that by putting in more breads, the breads now are going to move up in quality, improve in quality, and therefore that would be okay for Yontif. Even though I'm not going to end up eating all the breads on Yontif, but Ribu Shurim would apply over here as well, because whatever I am eating is going to be qualitatively better. Okay. Amar Rav HaHalachik Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and not only, it's funny, in the Braisa, so he comes out as a Das Yachid, and meanwhile, Rav says, okay, but I accept that as a halacha. And that is, in fact, the halacha. The halacha is on Yontif. So you can make large quantities of food, knowing full well we're not going to be completing this on Yontif. But again, as long as it's in one pot or in one oven, even with bread, so the Gemara says Ribu Shurim is going to be okay. And Adkan, that's the Gemara's conclusion of Ribu Shurim. And as I pointed out, it's a major discussion within halacha, and the Gemara treats it in five lines of Gemara. It's rather amazing. Okay. You didn't set up an Erev Tavshilin. You can't cook from Yontif to Shabbos. Good. So the Gemara starts off with the following question. Look, because you didn't set up an Erev Tavshilin, and we're talking about somebody who willfully didn't set it up, right? Remember what we learned yesterday, right? If it was an accident and you forgot, so you can rely on the Rav's Erev Tavshilin. But if it's bemazed, so now you can't cook. Now, right, these halachas are always funny in that for the person who willfully didn't put up an Erev Tavshilin, Now is he really ready to absorb and listen to the idea that, oh, and by the way, you now can't cook from Yontif to Shabbos? Okay. We're dealing with a person who already starting off as a not the most compliant person. Okay. So I understand these kinds of halachas are a little bit strange. We're talking about somebody who went through some sort of change of heart. Okay, and look, we're like that. We're funny, the human persona. Okay, so I didn't step in there of Tafshilim B'mezid, but now, when all said and done, yeah, I kind of feel bad about it. Okay, so can I cook for your Yontif to Shabbos? So he goes to the Rav, and the Rav says, you can't. Okay, now, the Gemara wants to know, now the halacha says you can't cook from Yontif to Shabbos, does that mean you're banned and barred from cooking from Yontif to Shabbos, but your food is good? Meaning, can someone come into your house now, basically, and cook your food from Yontif to Shabbos? Is the knas on the gavra? Is it just on the individual? Or does the knas also include your food as well? Okay, and the Gemara says, "Amay nafkamina laknuy kimchal acherim." And so now, if let's say you want your food to be cooked from Yontif to Shabbos, so it no longer, in order to allow that, meaning if the knas is going both on you and on your food, so the only way to bypass is to take your food and to acquire it to somebody else. Now you're allowed to do that in Yontif. So we've touched on this already numerous times here in our Masechta. The answer is yeah. You can give matanas, you can give gifts to other people on Yontif as long as it has some sort of tzorach for Yontif itself. So what you'll do now is you'll take your flour or whatever food it is, you'll transfer it over to somebody else, and that the Chachamim allowed you to do. If the kanas is going both on you and on the food. So Iamart Hunasar Vikimcho Nasar Tzarch Laknui Kimcho Lachem. The Iamart Hunasar Vain Kimcho Nasar Lo Tzarch Laknui Kimcho Lacherim. My. So, okay, good. So the Gemara now wants to know, is the kanas just on you, or is the kanas on you and on your food? Tashma, mishlo, hinech, erev, tashilon, erez, elo, yofa, velo, yivasho, velo, yatmin, lo, 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 velo, la, acherim, lo, acherim, ofen, mevashon, lo. So, ketzit, ozem, makna, kimcho, la, acherim, va, ofen, lo, mevashon, lo. Shma, mina. So the Gemara says, exactly, side two. Side two of the question, which is, the kanas is going both on you and on your food. The only way that your food can be cooked from Yontif to Shabbos is by you going ahead and transferring over that food to somebody else. Now the food belongs to somebody else, and now it's no longer incorporated, included in the kanas. It's so interesting that the Gemara just assumes really casually, like really easily, that once that food, which is penalized, the food is penalized, meaning you being penalized, that's a given. But the food is being penalized, and when that food now gets transferred over to somebody else, so the kanas is removed. It's lifted. The Gemara just assumes that's obvious. And when you think about it, it's like...
If the point is to punish somebody,
right?
Why is there like a escape clause?
Right. You and I are asking two versions of basically the same question, all right? The idea that the kanas is going on the food, and meanwhile, you know, somehow could lift the kanas off the food. It's funny how the Gemara just assumes that works, and it does. In other words, the Gemara assumes it works. That's the Gemara's conclusion. Yeah. Right.
Your stuff can't go inside the tchum.
Correct. They're focusing more on what your ability to do. You can carry. You can walk a certain distance. Over here, it's your food being cooked.
Yeah,
okay. Right. Ibai Lahu. Okay, next. Next question. Avra v'afa mai. Okay, so you didn't set up an Erev Tafshilin. So not only did you not set up an Erev Tafshilin, but on top of that, really, we're talking about a non-compliant individual. And on top of that, b'mezid he cooked from Yontif to Shabbos. Okay. difficult person. Totally non-compliant. So the Gemara now wants to know, is the food going to be Aser? Okay. So what did he violate in Issa d'Rabbanan? He did not violate in Issa d'Oraisa. I want to make that point clear. It's going to be very clear in the Gemara, but he didn't violate in Issa d'Oraisa. Again, I go all the way back to the beginning of the parak where I'm introducing the parak. In order to understand Erev Tafshilin, you got to go to the Gemara in Pesachim and Daf Mem Vav. The Gemara over there says that to cook from Yontif to Shabbos is not in Issa d'Oraisa. Yes, you only can do so with the institution of Erev Tafshilin, but Erev Tafshilin is a takana de rabbanan. Min haTorah, one is allowed to cook from Yontif to Shabbos. Two different reasons why: Rabba because of Hallel, Rav Chista because it's kedusha achas. Regardless, it's not an Issa d'Oraisa. What you're violating is an Issa d'Rabbanan. And now the question over here is, when violating this particular Issa d'Rabbanan, so did the Chachamim say, okay, we're going to cancel you? And now, again, I'm going to make the same observation. You're talking about a person who clearly is not compliant, meaning he didn't step in Erev Tafshilin, and b'mezid he cooked from Yontif to Shabbos, and now now the Gemara is asking the question, is the food Aser? I don't know who's asking the question. Meaning this person over here I'm not really sure he's ready to go to his Rav and ask him, hey, can I now eat my food? After having not set up a Nerev Tav Shilin and not and deliberately cook from Yantav to Shabbos. Anyway, so but the Gemara wants to know. So did the Chacham impose facto b'di'evit, did they penalize the food? So Tashma, the Gemara says so. Mishalo hinich erev tashlin ketzer osa maknikim chol achem v'achem ofen lo mevashen lo. Now, we're going to quote the Braisa that we just quoted moments earlier. And in the Braisa we learned together that what's the takana? In other words, for the person that didn't stop the erev tashlin, transfer your food to somebody else. And now it could be cooked. Now the e-isas, we turn now to the top of the Amud Beis. The isa, lisnei avar v'afar, mutter. So why doesn't the Braisa give another solution, which is just cook? Now, the answer is going to be so obvious. It's kind of hard to imagine what the Gemara was thinking. So, Amarav Adab Amasa Natana Takanta Dehetera Katani Takanta Tisra Lo Katani. So, no, the Braisa was interested in giving us ways to remedy the situation in a manner that's legitimate. But over here, for the Braisa to talk about, oh, you know, b'di'evit, if you cook, it's going to be okay. No, that's it. You're violating an Issa Derabbanan in doing so. You're cooking from Yontif to Shabbos without the institution of Erev Tavshilin. That's an Issa Derabbanan. The Braisa is not going to tell you to do that. Meaning it may very well be that the food's okay, but the Braisa is not going to start talking about various ways of violating Yisur the Rabbanan in order to solve your problem. Tashma. Mishi nirch eruv teshlan hariz ofel mvashal matmin. V'imratz alechos eruvei es eruvo harishus biadom. So, in order to make eruv teshlan, so you have to... you have to bake, you have to cook, you have to do atmana. Now, if you want to eat your eruv teshlan, and right now the Braisa is talking about after you did all your cooking from Yontif to Shabbos. So then, Harishus Biyado, perfectly fine. Achla, Ashalo, Afa, Ashalo, Hitmin, Hareza, Lo Yofa, Velo Yivasha, Velo Yatmin. Now, if you ate your Eretz Shilin before you cook from Yontif to Shabbos, now you have a problem. Because again, the only ability to cook from Yontif to Shabbos is only with an Eretz Shilin. Once it's consumed, okay, too late. Now, Velo Yatmin, Lo Lo, Velo Lachem, Velo Lachem, Ofim, Vashon Lo. Ava Mavasha, Hu, Li Yom Tov. So what you can do now, in the absence of an Erev Tav Shilin, is that you can cook for Yontov, Yom Hoser, Hoser. Now, if it happens, L'Shabbos, I'm sorry, Yom Hoser, Hoser, L'Shabbos. And if you happen to have any leftover, that's great. So then whatever leftovers you have, you'll eat for Shabbos. Now, Vavash Lo Yarim, but you can't do Harama. Meaning, now you on Friday Yontov, right, knowing full well that you don't have the security, the safety net of the Erev Tav Shilin. Oh, so now what? Okay, so let me make this dish. You know what? I'm not really in the mood for this dish. I'm not in the mood. I'm putting down air quotes. I'm not in the mood for this dish. I'll make another dish, etc. That's harama. And in other words, it's obvious right now that what you're doing is you're creating leftover for Shabbos. That's harama, and that says no good. And here's the point that we're waiting for in the Braisa. V'imherim aser. Now, if you do harama, so all the food that you cooked via harama, so that's going to be aser on Shabbos. Okay, now. Here's the leap the Gemara is making. The Gemara does not feel like this is a big leap. If harama is going to be prohibited, so then cooking bemezid for sure is going to be prohibited. Now, either for sure or it's the same. In other words, there shouldn't be a difference between harama and mezid. So the Gemara says, Amar of Ashi. So the Gemara makes a point without even making the point. I just did it. Meaning, if harama is asur, mezid is asur as well. Now the Gemara is going to say, I don't know if you're right about that. In fact, here's what we can say. Rav Ashi is going to say, "Am Rav Ashi harama kamar chani harama de achmir be rabbanan tvei mi mezid." So Rav Ashi says, "Look, harama is worse than mezid." And Rashi says it so beautifully over here. What's mezid? Mezid right now is I don't care. In other words, okay, the person right now is just his yetzer hara got the best of him, but he knows it's wrong. So on one hand, so mezid's bad, but on the other hand, mezid there's clarity of what I'm doing is not correct. Okay, and right as we just completed Yom Kippur, there's always tshuva, and so one can make the argument that maybe the Chachamim said don't cook from Yontif to Shabbos without an Erev Tav Shilin. If you do some amazing, so b'di'evit it's going to be fine. Harama is worse because harama. So what you're trying to do is you're trying to beat the system. In other words, you know what the system is, and you know you're not allowed to cook. And okay, fine, I'm not going to do so b'amazing, but what I'll do is I'll do it via loophole.
Isn't harama usually a vessel that the Chachamim use?
Hold that thought. Rashi in today's daf addresses your very question. I'm going to quote the Rashi in just a moment. So good. So that's the difference between mezid and harama. So and so Rav Ashi says you're right. The Braisa says harama is no good. Okay, but harama could be worse than mezid. So Rav Nachman, it's a Gemara Hamani Chananyehi Va'aliba de Beis Shammai. The Gemara says, okay, and I'll tell you what, we can even give a different, an alternative response to this as well. Again, the question on the table is, yeah, you didn't have an Erev Tav Shilin, but maybe did you cook from Yantav to Shabbos? B'diavad, now what's the story with the food? Is it us or mutter? So we're litigating, and so the previous brisa that talked about Harama, Rav Ashi said, I don't know if that's such a raya. Harama could be worse than Mazid. The Gemara now is going to sidestep it in another manner, and that is the author of that brisa is Chananya according to Beit Shammai. Explanation, the Gemara gives. Detanya Chananya Omer Beit Shammai Omer Mein Ofen Ela Imkein Arev Bepas Vein Mevashen Ela Imkein Arev Betavshel Vein Tomen Ela Imkein Hayulo Chamin Tumunim Erev Yamtov. So Beit Shammai says is that whatever process you're going to do from Yantav to Shabbos, your Erev Tavshil, you have to have an Erev Tavshil for that process. So you want to do Bishul from Yantav to Shabbos, you have to have a Davar Mevushal. If you want to do Afia from Yantav to Shabbos, you have to have a Davar Me'ufeh. And same thing with Hatmana. So the Beis Hillel Omrim, Arev B'Tavshilach, Chavosa Bo Kotzorcho. And Beis Hillel says that, no, you make one Tavshil and that Tavshil will cover everything. Anyway, it could very well be that the author of this price over here that we just quoted is Shitas Beis Shammai, according to the way Chananya presented it. And once I no longer have a Davar Mevushal or a Davar Mutman or a Davar Meufeh, so then I can't go ahead and cook from Yontif to Shabbos. But maybe that's it. Meaning that's all the price is teaching us is a halacha Beis Shammai. Okay, yeah, it's a little bit strange that we have a Stam Brysa going like Beis Shammai, but okay, it's another way to answer for the Brysa. Okay, so right now we are still litigating if b'mezid you cook from Yantif to Shabbos without Erev Tavshil, and what's the story with the food b'di'evin? Okay, so we're going to finish litigating, and then, Ben, I'll come back to your point. Tanan. Hamas Rosa b'Shabbos b'shoge yocha b'mezid lo yochal. You're not allowed to take off Shumas Maestros on Shabbos. We've established this already numerous times. We spent the daf talking about this. Now, what if you did? So b'shogeg, it's okay. B'di'evin. B'mezid, it's no good. So now, what do you see clearly over here? Taking off Trumas and Maestros on Shabbos is an Isser Durabanan, and if you intentionally violate the Isser Durabanan, B'di'evin, you cannot eat the food. So the Gemara says, okay, so now we'll take that idea and we'll translate it over to what we're trying to litigate. We're litigating now cooking from Yantif to Shabbos without an Erev Tavshilin. That also is an Isser Durabanan. So now the Gemara says, don't you see the comparison? Gemara says, not necessarily. So lo tzricha de isle pirach rine. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the mission that we just cited is talking about where you have other fruit. Meaning that the Chachamim banned, if I did it b'mezid, the Chachamim banned that fruit for that Shabbos. What about Onik Shabbos? Maybe the Brisa said the mission is talking about a case where you had other fruit. And so therefore, that ban would not prevent you from enjoying Shabbos. You'll still have an Onik Shabbos. But over here, if we don't allow the food to be eaten from Yantif to Shabbos, he's not going to have any food, and then there would be no Onik Shabbos. Okay, Tashma. Simply put, the cases are not necessarily comparable. Tashma, Hamat Bokelev Shabbos B'Shogeg Yishtamish Behem, B'Mezid Lo Yishtamish Behem. And again, the Gemara here discusses where you're not allowed to Tovel Kelev on Shabbos. Doing so would be an Issa de Rabbanan. And now, what if I did? So B'Shogeg, it would be okay, but B'Mezid B'Dieved, it is not okay. You cannot use those kelim on Shabbos. And once again, you're violating Nisa Durabanan, and you did so b'mezid, and you can't benefit from it. So lo tzricha d'isle mani achrina inami efshe b'sheila. So the Gemara says, okay, but there again, if the Chachamim banned it even b'di'eved, so all is not lost. You have other kelim. You could borrow kelim from somebody else, meaning there's still a possibility for you to experience Onik Shabbos. Unlike over here, where if the Chachamim in fact banned your food that you cook from Yantav to Shabbos, you'll have no Onik Shabbos. So the Gemara says, it could be that it's different. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, let's do this again. Hamavash b'Shabbos b'shogi yocha b'mezid lo yocha. So we quote a brisa that we quote throughout Shas, cooking on Shabbos. If you do so b'shogeg, so you can eat the food that was cooked on Shabbos. Okay, the Gemara over here is really giving us a short version of a much longer discussion. A brisa's three opinions. Okay, anyway. But the point, however, is if you do it b'mezid, lo yochal. Now here, it is almost, it's baffling to understand why the Gemara thought that this should be part of our discussion. In fact, the Gemara immediately dismisses Isur de Shabbashani. We're talking about cooking on Shabbos. Cooking on Shabbos in Issa Daraisa. We are not litigating in Issa Daraisa. We're litigating in Issa Darabanan. So the Gemara says that doesn't become part of the discussion. Okay, Adkan. So the Gemara asked and spent a good amount of time talking about without an Erev Tavshilin and B'mezid, you cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. So B'dieved, what's going to be the status with the food? And the answer is, the Gemara leaves us off with an inconclusive account of whether or not the food is B'dieved going to be okay. Okay, Ben moments earlier said that Harama, the Gemara said, what about the case of Harama, where the Brisa said that if you engage in Harama, cooking meal after meal on Yom Tov, you know, because, oh, you change your mind, right? After you cooked one dish. Nah, that's not what I want. You didn't change your mind, meaning you knew you didn't have an Erev Tavshilin. You're just simply, you're loopholing your way in order to get food on Shabbos. So the Brisa says that's wrong. Not only is that wrong, but D'Evid, you can't eat that food because that was done via Harama. Our Gemara over here says that Harama is a really bad thing. Really bad. In fact, so bad that even B'dieved, you can't use it. And what Ben remembers is that earlier in our Masechta, so there was haramas that were okay. Remember the haramas that were fine? You shechted an animal, and now you're salting the meats, right? You're salting the meats of the animal. You're allowed to salt much more meat than what I need for this particular yontif. And what you could do is you could salt a piece of meat, and then afterwards saying, I don't want that meat. I'll get the next piece. And that harama was perfectly fine. And so, here in one masechta, so we saw today's daf Yud Zayin, where harama is out of the question wrong. And we saw an earlier daf that said harama was okay. So by the way, that daf was Yud Aleph. Okay, so Yud Aleph, Yud Zayin, here in Beitza. So Rashi writes over here, I'll read the Rashi. So Rashi Dibra Maschil Shani Harama. No, I'm looking at the wrong Rashi. Go back one Rashi earlier. Vim ha'arim aser lechol da'achmer rabbanan. So Rashi now compares our Gemara to the Gemara back on Yud Aleph, and Rashi says not comparable. The ain ibud ba'ochlin, because over there, so what are you doing? You are salting meats. What possible malacha is there? So Rashi writes there is no malacha because we're talking about foods. In other words, the ibud salting hides. That's being ma'abed. That's tanning, that's processing the hides, that's an issur d'oraisa. But you're talking about food. And ein ibud ba'ochlin. So now, imishum tircha, so now what's left? What's left is what's called tircha yisera, meaning that you are exerting energy that does not need to be expended on yontif. And that's also a problem. Now, albeit an issur d'rabbanan, but it's still a problem. So Rashi says over there, the chachamim will encourage harama. Why? Tircha ha'adifa d'macha shelo yasriach habasar umamne v'lo shachit. Because over there, what's on the other side? Meaning if the chachamim didn't allow it. So if the chachamim didn't allow it, so now this is a large animal. There's a lot of meat. I'm not going to eat all of it today. And now what's going to happen if I'm not allowed to salt every piece of meat? I'm not going to shecht. So if that's on the other side of that decision, so now we're talking about meniyah simchas yantav. So over there, when you have that kind of counter pressure, so then the Chachamim allowed it. Masha Einkein over here, meaning we're not talking about a real counter pressure of Simchas Yontov. In fact, what you should have done is you should have set up an Erev Tavshilin. You did not. Now you are trying to bypass your failure of setting up an Erev Tavshilin by doing a harama to cook from Yontov to Shabbos. Now it's true that if I don't cook from Yontov to Shabbos, I'm going to lose out on Onig Shabbos. But again, over there, it's not the same as on Yontif itself. If I don't shech this animal, I'm not going to have any Simchas Yontif for today. Mashen came over here by Erev Tavshilin, where you failed to do Erev Tavshilin. So we're talking about from Yontif to Shabbos. So Rashi says it's different. Okay. And otherwise stated, there's Harama and then there's Harama. And then and Rashi, by the way, if Rashi's sensitive to it, by the way, you know, it's something that absolutely needs to be addressed, right? Rashi doesn't normally do this. Rashi doesn't normally compare one Gemara to another Gemara. So Rashi doing so, obviously this is an issue that needs addressing. So David and I discussed it earlier. Howell only removes the Issa D'Oraisa. Howell does not give legitimacy to do so. That's all that Howell does. Howell just simply removes the Issa D'Oraisa. Okay. Okay, so your Erev Tavshilin needs to be made up of what? So in the Mishnah, going all the way back to the beginning of our Perek, I mean, it's just a couple days ago, but going back to the beginning of our Perek, so machlok is between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. In our Mishnah, Beis Shammai says two cooked foods, and Beis Hillel says one cooked food. The Gemara now is going to give us a brisa, That's going to give us a different viewpoint. So the Tanya will not in the Bryce Amr Reb Shimon ben Elazar. So here in this Bryce, agreement between Beisham and Beisol that you need to cook food. It just happens to be that they're debating when I have fish and I have an egg now on top of the fish. Oh, delicious. So, okay, good. So over here, how do you count that? Do you count as two foods or do you count as one food? That's the machlokes between Beisham and Beisol. Good. Now, you'll notice, of course, that that's different than our Mishnah. That's exactly the Gemara's point. The Bryce over here is different than our Mishnah. She impirpa beitza v'nasan l'soch adag, o she risa kaplotos v'nasan l'soch adag, she'in shnei tafshilin. However, if you stuff the fish with another food, so that's considered shnei tafshilin. Okay, it's right. I don't understand. Meaning to put the egg on top of the fish, that's the machlokas. To stuff it inside, that's a cool. Oh, the egg is just a dip? Okay, could be.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, fine. So you understood better than me. Okay, good. Amar Rav Hilchasa Katani Didam Vali B'de Beisel. Now, as far as should I work with the Mishnah, should I work with the Brisa we just learned together? So Rav says you should work with the Brisa. I'm sorry, I said it wrong. You should work with the Mishnah. In other words, follow the Mishnah, where according to Beisel, you only need Tavshal Echad. Okay. We are nearly at the end. I'll just read the next part. Achla o shavad harizalom lo yivash olav. Now, if your erev tafshilin is consumed prior to you cooking, so like we've said already numerous times, but it all goes back to the Mishnah, no good. Meaning, once somebody consumes the erev tafshilin, so you can't cook from Yontif to Shabbos. Am Rabbi Nakinan hischol b'isaso v'nechal eruvo gomer. You're mid cooking, right? You're in the middle of making a bread. And then, right in the course of while you're cooking the bread or baking the bread, so somebody comes along and finishes up the erev tafshilin. So the halacha is that omrim lo gemor. Now you can, as long as you started the bread behetta, you could finish that bread. Okay, obviously, but to start a new project now for Shabbos, that you can't do. Okay, Adkan, that brings us to the end. Okay, now if I was asked a question, just learning the gemara, which we did between today, yesterday, and 2 days ago. So we did 2.5 lot of Erev Tafshilin. So now if I ask the question, so what is your Erev Tafshilin made up of? So I would say made up of a cooked food. Yeah. Okay, that's what I would have said. Meanwhile, Tosus over here, the last Tosus on our daf, on the sugya, so Tosus goes through, so do I need now a cooked food and a baked food, or is the cooked food going to be sufficient? I don't know. There's a lot of evidence going over these last 2.5 lot that would tell you that a cooked food is all you need. And if I said you also need a baked food, I'd say that shita's beis shamay. That's what I would have said. Rabbeinu Tam makes an argument, builds a really strong argument. Builds an argument that says that no, in order to make a successful erev tafshilin, it has to be a cooked food and a baked food in order to make a proper erev tafshilin. The Gemaras do not seem to agree with this position. Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam answers up for every Gemara. That's all in the Tosfos over here. His nephew, the Ri, so his nephew says, I really don't think he's right, meaning you go over the Gemaras that we just did, and it seems really clear that all you need for Erev Tafshilin is just to cook food, and you could do everything over the cooked food. You can cook, bake, hatmani, you could do everything over the cooked food. Who? It's whatever. You have to go through the Tosfos, right? I just quickly went through it again before the daf. Anyway, it's whatever. It's a difficult position. But, okay, and as I get older and as I appreciate more, so I understand how much of an influencer Rabbeinu Tam was on halacha, right? I'm talking for the Ashkenazim. So he was such an unbelievable influencer, meaning despite the fact that the Gemara doesn't read that smoothly for Rabbeinu Tam, but he writes at the end, right? I'll read the end. Mikom akom omari, lo milani libi lavor al divrei dodi. So the Re writes that, look, on one hand, I don't really think his position reads well into the Gemara. On the other hand, my uncle said it. I know. But again, the amount of respect and deference they had for Rabbeinu Tam, I appreciate it more and more as I learn more and more. So v'tzarech shnei tafshilin, pas v'tafshil. So you need a cooked food, you need a baked food. V'chein am ha'davar. And Tosha says, and that's the minhag. Minhag is just to have a cooked food and a baked food. And that's the Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, and the Balei Tosfos says, look, he said it. That's what we're going to do. Okay, so just as an interesting end note to the Erev Tav Shul and Gemaras. Okay, quickly recap. Our daf today is divided into basically three separate parts. Number one is how to daven. When you have Yantav and Shabbos conflating with one another, you have Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos, you have Chol HaMoed and Shabbos. So what's the structure of Shmona Esrei? That was the first part of today's daf. Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Good. Second part of today's daf. So the so if I didn't set up my Erev Tchumim, so are there going to be strategies? So if it's a two-day Yantav going into Shabbos, so then you can make it tonight. In other words, if you remembered on day one of Yantav, so you make it tonight. If today's Yantav, if tomorrow's Yantav, okay. So you make it tonight. Can you also make it tonight for Erev Tchumim? That's a machlokas. Okay, Ribui Shi'urim, right? A big topic, which comes out to be like five short lines of today's daf. So that was also on the Amud Aleph today. In other words, that can make a really large pot of stew, chulent, soup, even just boiling hot water, so that you can do, knowing full well that there's going to be additional, but as long as it's done in one pot, so that's okay, that's Ribui Shi'urim. Can I do the same thing regarding baking bread in an oven? That was a machlokas tanaim. The Gemara ended up becoming mekel on that particular topic. Okay, you didn't make an Erev Tavshilin. So there's a knas that you can't cook from Yontif to Shabbos. Is the knas also going on the food as well? So the Gemara's conclusion was yes, the knas is going on food. And the Gemara says what you can do, however, is you can transfer that food over to somebody else, and then the knas is lifted off that food. And that other person now can cook that food. What if I end up cooking b'mezid from Yontif to Shabbos? The Gemara says on that, it's inconclusive. Gemara went back and forth a number of times to try to see what would the halacha be under those circumstances, inconclusive on that topic. And then finally, we concluded the daf today with the halacha, that we have a braisa, we have a mishnah, we're going to be following our mishnah that you only need one cooked food. And then, as we concluded, do I need one cooked food and a baked food? From the Gemara itself, the answer would seem to be no, but Rabbeinu Tam says yes, you do.